Well, it is a day of celebration. Merry Christmas! Celebrating Christmas. Some have already opened presents, and throughout the day, presents are going to be opened, and we rejoice in the celebration of Jesus coming to this earth, born as a baby, as we sang Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God became man, so that he could provide salvation for those who would believe. And it is appropriate to celebrate. As Pastor Nate said, every day's Christmas, but in one sense, every day's Easter as well, right? Because we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of God who became man, the Lord Jesus. We think of the celebrations that took place many years ago. We think of the shepherds. And as they came and they worshiped Jesus, we think of Mary and Elizabeth when they found out and praised God together because of the coming Messiah, the shepherds, the wise men who we spoke of a few weeks ago, who came upwards to 2 years later. And it was a celebration that was continual in some sense. We're going to look at the life of a man this morning out of Luke chapter 2. If you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, an individual who celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus. So here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is Jesus' birth should have a lifelong impact upon you. Jesus' birth should have a lifelong impact upon you. It's not just today. You know, the world looks at this as like one season of the year, one day of celebration, maybe a season. You know, it starts after Thanksgiving and goes on through Christmas Day. But so often it's missed as to the true significance. You know, we have Alexa at home and we say, Alexa, play some Christmas music. And then she goes to Spotify, and most everything has to do with jolly old Saint Nick and Frosty the Snowman, right? And we have to play our own lists in order to get the kinds of songs that we sang even here this morning. So the world, they don't fully comprehend, and that's such a blessing of coming here today on Christmas Day to celebrate as a church family. And if you're watching online, we welcome you, and we look forward to the time when you are able to be here with us, if you, in fact, are able to do so. A time of celebration. And how appropriate for us to gather together on this day. Excitement as to the birth of a child. When a child here is born at FBC, we get excited. We've had several over this past year born, and we're excited about that. You know, you hear about the baby being born, and we get excited about that. And the McCaskills are looking forward to one coming here very soon, and they're excited, and we're excited for them. All kinds of excitement around a birth. The birth of Jesus is something about which to be excited. And should have not just an excitement for a day or a season, but for a lifetime. In what way should Jesus' birth impact your life? Again, Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at a man named Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem, verse 25, Luke 2, 25. Man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I think this testimony by Simeon gives some indication of how the birth of Jesus should impact your heart and mine. So let's look at some ways that Jesus' birth should impact your life. The first one is your character. We see here that Simeon was righteous and devout. This was in the anticipation of the coming of Jesus. I think the Lord blessed him, and he was righteous. And the encouragement here is for you and me to be righteous as we think about the coming of the Lord. The word righteous here relates to your relationship with men. Literally means behaves well toward all. It's having a good reputation because of your relationship with God. You know, some of you have told me stories over the years of how you went into the store and you left and the clerk gave you too much change. And you said, you know what? I need to go back in and tell them about this. That's being righteous, as opposed to saying, hey, great, hey, I needed that, you know. Instead of a dollar, they gave you 10 or whatever. You go back in and say, I'm sorry, but you gave me too much change. That's a good testimony. That's a good, that helps you gain a good reputation. How you handle the long lines of returns as you go back to the stores tomorrow. You know, many happy returns takes on a whole new significance, right? You go back and instead of grumbling and complaining because you have to wait in line, maybe strike up conversations. And again, it goes back to reputation. How do you handle the trials, the difficulties, the challenges, the inconveniences of life? Gain a good reputation. I think of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 when Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. His repentance was indicated by his desire for restitution, to make things right with people around him. And that's what happens when we come to Jesus. We gain a good reputation. It may have been sullied at one time or another, but when you come to Jesus, you make things right. And the impact is that should be your testimony to others around you, to be righteous, to have a good relationship with others. If I would talk to your family and friends, and I do sometimes, maybe a neighbor or a coworker, and I happen to run into them, and maybe they're working at the same place you work, and I say, oh, hey, do you know old so-and-so? And I call your name. And they say, oh, yeah, I know them. They work with me, or they're a neighbor, or they're a friend. And I say, you know what? They're a member of our church. How would they respond? Would they say, oh, really? Hey, that's great. It doesn't surprise me at all that they're a member of your church. Because they might not put it this way, but because you're righteous, right? You have a good reputation. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But when we think of our church and ministry, we think of ourselves more like a hospital than a country club, right? We all are fallen. We all are hurting at some time or another. And we come together and we try to help one another, to encourage one another. That's one of the blessings of gathering together on Sundays, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's why we need the fellowship. That's why those of you who are watching or listening, we encourage you to come out in the fellowship to be here with us if or when you are able to do so. Because we need this encouragement to keep on keeping on, as Pastor Doug says, right? And by the way, pray for Pastor Doug. He just hasn't been feeling well, and just pray for him and encourage him as you have opportunity. He wants to be here. He's not able to be here today. But what a blessing to gather together to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Just a shameless plug for my class coming up, Care and Discipleship, starting here in a couple weeks. It's a class through which you watch videos. We'll give you a link to watch 2 to 3 videos a week to train you to spur others on to love and good deeds, to help you help and encourage others. And by the way, when you watch and listen to those, and then on Sundays we're going to gather together and I'll facilitate the discussion and we'll go through those and talk about questions you may have about them. But again, it's training toward care and discipling others. You want to learn how to do that? We want to encourage you. That's what we're to be about here in our fellowship. And so what I have found out, I started to say, is that first of all, it ministers to your heart, right? You realize, whoa, I need to change and grow as well. And to the extent that you change and grow, to that extent, you're able to help others. That's what we want to do here as a congregation, to encourage one another to become more like Jesus. That's called discipleship. And we're to be all about making disciples. That's being righteous, and encourage one another to be so. Another quality here we see is verse 25 is that he was devout. So the challenge here is to be devout. What does that mean? Well, it's literally means careful about your religious duties. He was devoted. What a testimony. What an encouragement for you and me to be devoted. So let's look at some evidence of devotion here. The first one that comes to mind here, is, according to the text, was he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. An aspect of devotion is waiting for the return of Jesus. What a phenomenal parallel to our day. He was looking forward to the first coming of Jesus, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward to the Messiah arriving. I may be getting ahead of myself, but I'm telling you, I can't imagine the joy in this man's heart. You know, think about it. He was told by God through the Holy Spirit that he was going to see the Messiah's arrival before he died. And he goes to the temple that day, and he's like, man, there he is. Here's the Messiah that he has arrived. I mean, look how excited this guy must have been, right? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was looking forward to the return of Jesus. Are you looking forward to Jesus' return? I mean, when you look at the condition of the world around us today, oh my, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? We look forward to that day and his soon coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. That's what's called the rapture, all right? And we're looking forward to that. There are those who are believers who will not experience death. They will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, all right? And we look forward to that prospect, the possibility of that. And he says there in the last verse of that chapter in 1 Thessalonians 4, therefore, encourage one another with these words. That ought to be a blessing, an encouragement that Jesus is coming soon. You know, I get excited about company arriving. My sister and brother-in-law, Kevin and Janine, he served here with us for many years. And he and the family are now serving down at a church in Bossier City, Louisiana, near Shreveport. And she texted me last night and she says, we're on our way. They're on their way. They're going to get here sometime tomorrow. And we're excited about that. I don't know about you when you have company coming in. I get excited about company coming. I'm looking forward to seeing them. Riley's about 8 foot tall now. And just looking forward to seeing Riley and Tori and Kevin and Janine and just the anticipation of that. How much more to be excited to anticipate the coming of the Lord. I think that's an evidence of devotion that the Lord Jesus will be here sometime, someday, and we pray someday soon. Another evidence of devotion is being filled with the Spirit. Simeon, verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, I think it's interesting because in the Old Testament economy, which Simeon was, and these events here of which we're reading were still under the Old Testament economy. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon an individual for a specific time to accomplish a specific task or deed. It was very rare that the Holy Spirit was on an individual in the Old Testament for a prolonged period of time. You and I have the blessing of the Holy Spirit being upon us continually. At the moment of salvation, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God therefore dwells in you. What a blessing. He strengthens you. He enables you to do what he asks of you to do in his word, to live righteously and devotedly, is that a word? To be righteous and devout, right? Well, that's what we have here with Simeon. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And that enabled him to know and experience these things. It gave indication of his devotion to the Lord. I just encourage you to depend upon God through the power of his Spirit. As a believer, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, again, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And not just upon you, but in you. And I think it's appropriate to ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit. That means to be controlled by the Spirit, all right? In other words, to the extent that you're walking in obedience to his word, to that extent, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so that's a submission to him, being willing to walk in obedience to him, to his word. Now, I want to make a couple clarifications here. We think of devotion, we think of being faithful. Faithful to God in reading his word. Sometimes we call them personal devotions or family devotions or quiet time. We talk about attending church. We talk about being faithful and giving and serving and willing to serve and faithful in prayer. And we might look at someone like that and we might say, that person is devoted. I want to make it clear that if you're not careful, you can do those things and not really be devoted. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can go to church. You can give. You can even serve without really being devoted. Because you can go through the motions. Do you know some people like that? You know, they just, hey, I went to church, you know. It has little impact on their life. There are some who read the Bible, and it's like they're spiritual rabbit's foot, and they say, oh, man, I got that done for the day, and then they go on with their day. Now, I think those things are very important to do. But those things are the means to the end of godliness. Right? Just because you do those things, and you may even know some people, they go to church all the time. Maybe you're one of those. But it has little impact on how you live your life the rest of the week. Right? So going to church does not make you spiritual. And I submit, even doing any of these other things doesn't necessarily make you spiritual. Those things are the means to the end of walking in righteousness, the way God wants you to do. In other words, don't merely listen to the word, but do what it says. The evidences of godliness is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. It goes back to your testimony. And that's what Simeon had. He had a testimony of righteousness, of being devout, so that when others looked at him, they said, you know what, that guy is godly. Not because he went to church or because he read his Bible, but because he was putting into practice what God desired for him through his word and the power of the Holy Spirit evidenced in him to live the way, in a way that would bring honor and glory to God. Righteous and devout in the celebration of the birth of Jesus. What a blessing to have this opportunity to say, you know what? Jesus was born, and I want to be righteous. I want to be devout, as Simeon was. Here's another way in which your life, the birth of Jesus should impact your life. And that's in verses 27 and 28. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Let me pause just a second. Because when we were over in Israel just a few weeks ago, and we went to the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, there were people who were there worshiping openly, but there were people were just milling around. That's probably what was happening at the temple. Is there just all kinds of people milling around, and Mary and Joseph were just taking baby Jesus, and they were going to offer the appropriate sacrifices for that time 8 days later, and the circumcision and so on, and all of a sudden this guy comes in front of them and is like, hey. And I just envision with all these people milling around, it doesn't say how he did it, but it's just that he just lifted up this child and said for anyone to hear what he was saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. In this, these statements here, you have an indication of the fact that this guy was now ready to go home and be with the Lord. He was like, okay, my life is now complete. I can die in peace. And he was excited about this. I have seen the salvation of the Lord. And here's the way I think in which the birth of Jesus should impact your life, and that's your witness. I think he was just unashamed in the fact of saying, I have now seen, for anyone, the people milling around to just stop and say, whoa, what's going on with that guy? You know, I've seen the salvation of the Lord. He was a witness to the salvation of the Lord through Jesus Christ. And my encouragement here then is to, first of all, declare your faith. A couple challenges here. Declare your faith. Base your faith on the word of God. He says there in verse 29, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. We talked about that last week. right? There's dependence upon God through His Word. God's Word is so significant. Like I said, I'm going to encourage you with this next week in my message, but I as a pastor, and I hope you've caught this over the years, I just want to continue to encourage you. The Word of God is central to your faith. If you're struggling with faith and issues of faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And here, again, he said, you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Matthew Henry says, here's an acknowledgement that God had been as good as His word. There has not failed one tittle of His good promises. Remember last week we said, don't have faith in faith. Oh, I just believe God's going to do this for me, whatever your this might be. But have faith in what God has said in His Word, so that through whatever it is you may be going, He is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you, regardless to the outcome. You see? So you have faith in what He has told you in His Word, not on what you hope might happen or think should happen, but faith in Him. Now, it doesn't mean you don't make requests. You know, God, I pray that I will be healed. I pray that my friend will be healed. I pray for your comfort through this time. And it just seems, you know, this time of year that there's tragedies that take place that seem to impact. And Father, we pray for the comfort upon those individuals that are experiencing those things. And those are things we can pray according to the Word of God. God is as good as His Word. I knew when my parents, I wrestled in high school, as you may know. But I knew that if mom or dad told me, we're going to be at your wrestling match, they were going to be there. If they told me they were going to be there, they were there. One time, and I may have told you this, but one time, Dad said he was going to be there, and it was a school assembly, and it was a high school, and Dad was worked with the elementary school at the time, and I thought, that'd be great, and just like a kid, you know, you're kind of looking, and our school was a large school, 2,000 students and everything. I'm looking in the stands and everything like that. And so I'm getting ready to go out and go wrestle. And I look over there, and sure enough, there was Dad standing right there. Yes. And what an encouragement. I pinned the guy in 19 seconds. Yes. But anyway, Mom and Dad were good as their word. You know what? If my parents are good as their word, surely God is. God is. He's faithful. Declare your faith. Base your faith upon God's way of salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. He saw Jesus, who was His and is your salvation. My friend, Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Right? There's no other way. No other way. The world has all kinds of ideas about this, but we can be unashamed and say, you know what? There is no other way of salvation except through Jesus. Don't make any apologies about that. You don't have to be argumentative about that. You just say, no, my friend, there's no other way but through Jesus. Declare your faith. It's so simple. It's so simple. We don't have to make it difficult. But also declare that salvation is available to all. He says in verse 31, 32. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people. Here's a message for Jew and Gentile alike. It's a message for everybody. A message as the angels told the shepherds, which shall be to all people. A message of joy. And verse 33, his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Mary and Joseph heard the angels tell them a lot about Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. And all these things that they were told. And now here's another guy that's coming along and is going to tell them something new. Something they hadn't heard before. God revealed these things to him. The blessing we have is we have the complete revelation of God through his word. And we can minister his word faithfully. And we can tell people. One of our goals for 2023 is increased and focused evangelism. That as a church and as a ministry, we need to be sowing the seed. We need to be telling others about Jesus. And what's interesting is it's just, in that day, the sowing of the seed was very simple, and it was just reaching in the bag and just throwing the seed out there. Some falls on a hard-packed soil, some falls on rocky soil, some falls on thorny soil, but some falls on good soil. And what's interesting is Jesus just tells us, sow the seed. And some people are going to say, nah, no thanks. Some people are going to get angry and say, get out of my face. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Some people might say, oh, this is great, and then they fade away. But you know what? If we're faithful to sow the seed, some of it's going to fall on good soil. You know what? You don't have to wrangle people into the kingdom. I'm all about knowing what we're talking about, having a good apologetic to be able to give an answer for the reasons of the hope that's in us, to speak in a way that convinces. Another word for that is to convict people of their sin and need for repentance and salvation. That's what we do in preaching, right? So those things are important to grow in that ability, but you know what? It's really pretty simple. It's just sow the seed. That salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. And the thing is, as we see here, that's for all the people. It's for anybody. It's for everybody. And some will reject, some will believe. Declare that salvation is available to all. Here's a final way that Jesus' birth should impact your life, and that's your response to Jesus' exclusive provision. What's your response? Verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. His provision is exclusive in that, as I mentioned a moment ago, he is the only way. There is no other way. And his provision is through the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. He had to die on the cross, was buried, and rose again. But, you know, we look at the universal response. The universal response is the falling and rising of many. What does this mean? Well, as I've mentioned, this fall I've been going out hunting and walking through the cornfield. And when I go out in the morning, it's dark. Or if I'm coming out in the evening, it's dark. And once in a while, there are big rocks. And once in a while, I'll catch my toe and stumble. And there's been a time or two where I have literally fallen. That's the falling. That's, Jesus is a stumbling block to many, right? You're going to mention Jesus and salvation through Jesus and that he's the only way. And there are some people who are going to stumble over that. Really? I think all roads lead to heaven. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, you're going to make it. They will stumble over the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. They're going to stumble over that. They won't like to hear that. They'll want to hear that it doesn't matter what you believe, you're just sincere. They're going to stumble over the exclusivity of Jesus being Savior. But he's also the rising for many. Sometimes I'm walking through that and I'll step on the rock and I'll step up because of stepping on the rock, right? That's what we have here. There will be those who do believe. It's the rising of many. That's just a picture that's being used here. And again, those of you who have come to Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. He is the way. He's the rising of your soul. Verse 35, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Your response to Jesus makes all the difference. It's going to reveal your heart as to whether you're rising, I believe he is the Savior, or you're falling that you don't believe, which causes us to look at your personal response. What is your response? He says in verse 35, he talks to Mary and he says, listen, Mary, he says, a sword will pierce your own soul too. Jesus' death, her child was going to grow to become a man who would be crucified on a cruel cross. And as you know, Mary was there and she witnessed this. That was a sword, not just a little knife. You know, I've got my little pocket knife here and I'll probably use it this afternoon to you know, help open presents. No, it's talking about a sword would pierce her soul. It would grieve her heart that her son, her Savior, as we learned last week, was crucified. How are you going to respond to that? Would it be a rising for you or a falling for you? Your response, my encouragement, my friend, is to surrender to him. Surrender to him. Rather than cause it to stumble, and even if you have to this point stumbled over these truths, that you would say, you know what, I keep stumbling over Jesus, but I keep hearing about Jesus being Savior, and I realize now because of what I'm hearing today or from what other friends have told you, that you know what, I need to surrender to him. Won't you surrender to Jesus? Many of you have. And if you have, it's a rising to you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Your soul has been lifted up and encouraged by these truths. You surrender to him. Or you're speaking against him. You can't be neutral. I haven't seen it this year, but some of you have maybe seen The Sound of Music, right? And, you know, it's all about the Von Trapp family and the influence of Nazism. And the Von Trapp family says, you know, we're not gonna surrender to Nazism. You know, we're just not going to go down that road. In fact, to the point where they were persecuted and ended up having to flee the country. But remember the family friend, Max, right? He wanted to be neutral about Nazism, right? But what did he end up doing? Heil Hitler, right? He pledged his allegiance to Hitler. To be neutral is to be against Jesus. If you're like, oh yeah, you know, I want to have an open mind about all of this, and I want to, listen, to be neutral is, no, you need to take a stand. And my encouragement to you is to stand upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great day to do that. On this Christmas day as we celebrate his birth. And I encourage you to celebrate. In all of the happenings going on, some of you have already done some celebrating, and we're looking forward to celebrating this afternoon, and we're going to have gifts, and we're going to have food and more food, and we're going to celebrate, right? I encourage you to celebrate, but to focus your attention. What a blessing to have this reminder on this Christmas Sunday morning to focus our attention on Jesus. Because he's the only way. And as a result, celebrate by bringing honor and glory to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these truths. Thank you for Simeon and his testimony. He was righteous and devout. Lord, he had a tremendous testimony to the extent that when he saw Jesus, he was ready to go. Father, when we see Jesus and we surrender to Jesus, our hearts are ready to go, to be with you. And so I pray, Father, that you would open eyes to spiritual truth today, to realize that Jesus is truly the only way to be able to stand before you, God, in righteousness and holiness.